let's kick it off then. So if we talk about, you know, your journey and your history, because, you know, you haven't always been doing what you do now, have you?
No, I haven't, no. I mean, I was a non-academic, found myself on a building site, did that till I was age 23. I did know that I'd got a backup plan. I had an insurance business. And so I took a massive change and went from building site to working within insurance. I was in financial services for 14 years, and that's when I had my first bout of depression. It literally reduced me to nosebleeds, headaches, and not knowing how to handle my emotions.
Right. You know, the depression that you had sort of affected you quite physically.
One day, our youngest daughter came home from school and made a simple request. Lovely summer's day, she was 6 years old, and says, "Daddy, can we have a barbecue?" And I was going to go out and work that evening, so I said no to her. And it was literally the straw that broke the camel's back, and I had a breakdown, and I made the decision to walk away from a stressful situation.
That must have been a tough decision to make at that point.
A massively tough decision, because, you know, unfortunately now, with the benefit of hindsight, it's not all about money. And at that time, money was really making me unhealthy. I was sort of trapped, and knowing that our income was about to halve, but I made that decision because something like health and happiness has to come before money. And I'm so thankful now, looking back, that I made that decision, because God forbid, who knows whether I'd be even still here today.
We sort of spend what we earn, don't we? As our wages increase, we get used to working at that lifestyle level.
Unfortunately, do people get trapped? I'll be happy when I get that new car. I'll be happy when we move out. I'll be happy when we get that, you know, that promotion up the corporate ladder. People don't know how to think, and I can now absolutely talk with the benefit of hindsight, nearly 9 years or so, the answers aren't in money or material things, they're on the inside. So, you know, we're living in an ever-increasing stressful workplace and economy. You know, mental health is on the increase, and I've got an incredible passion to get a message out there of how people can be happier without it being attached to a pay rise.
So where did, when you finished and made that call to kind of change direction, I mean, where did your mind go then? Because obviously, I suppose what the question I'm trying to ask is that if you're in a place that is kind of, you know, depressed and anxious and all of those sort of things, it's quite hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose. It's quite hard to see a way out, but I mean, you've obviously found a way out. You know, you found a way to make yourself better and to kind of develop yourself as a person and all that sort of stuff. So what kind of opened your door into that?
Yes, I knew I was going to be earning less money, but all of a sudden I'd got a totally different perspective and outlook on life, because that pressure had gone, so I moved forward. So I was earning far less money, but I was happy. I knew that I could do my manual work from 8 till 4 or 5 o'clock, earn the amount of money, go away, not even think about it till the next morning. Well, what I was doing previously, it totally took over. It was the dominant thought in my mind. So literally that pressure and that stress disappeared. But then, actually over a period of time, another set of challenges came along. I had behind us that we'd saved up. That money disappeared. As I'm saying no too often, I'd now been back in the building trade for quite a few years, and I'd now developed a bad back, a bad knee, and tennis elbow, and having to go to work through physical pain to put food on the table. So I slipped back drinking on the settee most evenings just to drown out that noise in your head, and that I was back in the same place again. So, you know, I think most people agree that life can be quite a roller coaster. In the summer of 2010, on the day that England got knocked out of the World Cup, good fortune came my way. I went to our local summer fair in Bolsover. I entered a free prize draw to win a new car. I was desperate for a new car. And I stumbled across an opportunity that enabled me to do something part-time alongside the building trade. What if this is what is going to enable me to get out of the building trade? And it literally, again, I got out of this depressive place because it put hope, you know, and hope is such a massive thing for people, because I think people get trapped in this mundane, working 40 or 50 hours a week for 40 or 50 years to put food on the table, and it can become quite a monotony. Unfortunately, I stumbled across something else, and all of a sudden I was back on a high again.
And was that kind of an immediate thing, you know, as soon as you explored this opportunity, was it like a change overnight, or was it like a gradual over time sort of change for you?
No, it was a gradual change, because it was, you know, my emotions weren't it really in the right place to confidently pick something up and embrace it. I'd actually, you know, my confidence and self-esteem was in my boots. I was really at a low point. I'd actually become quite a hermit. Karen and the kids actually had to drag me out of the house to go to social stuff. But anyway, I'd got this new idea, this new opportunity, and I had the good fortune of meeting a guy who, 11 years prior to me meeting him, he was a humble greengrocer in Matlock Bath. And when I met him, he was in the top 10% of income earners in the country. And he started to coach me. And this guy introduced me to personal development. And personal development has become a huge passion of mine, because it has been totally life-changing. He lent me a couple of books, and he encouraged me to start reading 10 pages a day of these books and listening to some audio and getting around a group of positive people. And the information that I got from those books, I knew that I found what I've been looking for all my life. Because I'd always said, there's got to be something more than this. And this guy took me under his wing, and he coached me, you know, on my emotions and how to think better and how to become goal-oriented. And I've just totally become a totally different person. And I've learned how to think through the personal development. So depression, I'm pleased to say, is an absolute thing of the past.
That's really cool. I mean, we have to demystify something here around personal development, because there was always this kind of, you know, new agey self-help guide kind of mantra that seemed to be historically attached to personal development, but it seems to have changed shape now. And actually in all kinds of industries, it seems like personal development now, you know, we always used to talk about continual professional development, but there's a growing conversation around personal development. I mean, for you, how important is it, you know, as well as doing the work and getting involved on a practical level, how important is the personal development side of things, you know, in terms of how, the way that you think for you?
It's absolutely everything, because now, being a student of mind and emotion and personal development for the last 9 years, I've actually learned how my brain works and how to run my brain in a much healthier way, because, you know, our past conditioning that we've had from an early age, from the 5, 6, 7 years old, you've had no idea of the impact that a critical parent can have, or a critical teacher, or a critical partner, and a set of beliefs are formed, and little do we know that there are stories being played in our mind at an unconscious level that determine our emotions. Our emotions are attached to a thought, so we need to consciously learn how to think better, and then we can reprogram our unconscious and actually be in control of that emotion. I remember my sister-in-law lent me this book by the Dalai Lama, which, like, you know, how to be happy. Even though I was in a desperate place, that I'm not reading that shit. And as they say, when the pupil's ready, the master appears. And I'd saw a guy that had transitioned from greengrocer to a really successful businessman. And I just thought, you know, well, he's given me this information and these ideas that I need to start reading these books. And, you know, and a great phrase that I like, so to anybody that is actually listening to, gets to listen to this call that may well be close to it, is that you don't know what you don't know. And the more you actually read, the more you realise that you don't know, the more you actually start to think, oh my goodness. You know, I was close to it myself. I can understand why people are a little bit sceptical of it. If only they knew, and if only they were open to it. It's absolutely got such an important role to play. Youth, suicide and what have you, and, you know, the male species who are renowned for not talking about their emotions, and this macho. So there is so much stuff and there's so many free resources that I could give people a list as long as my arm, free resources on YouTube that would make a huge difference to people if only they're open to explore within.
Graham, you mentioned a greengrocer and a couple of books there. So do you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, my emotions were really not in the right place with regards to thinking about taking on another business. But I had the good fortune, as I said, of coming across this guy who was a greengrocer. And he said to me, Graham, in order for you to make a change and to start pursuing business, you really need to start getting into personal development. And he lent me a book called Dare to Dream and Work to Win, which was by a guy called Dr. Tom Barrett, who was a psychoanalyst. So I knew that the information was coming from a really credible source. He also lent me a set of CDs called The Slight Edge, and said, I encourage you to listen to this stuff in your car as opposed to listening to Rihanna or Ed Sheeran. I thought, yeah, well, that makes sense. He said, you can get the ecology over this next couple of years just going to and from work. And I got 90 pages into that book whilst listening to The Slight Edge. And my mind absolutely exploded. My blood turned to adrenaline. And I knew that I'd found what I'd been looking for all my life, because I knew there was something missing. I knew there must be a better way, an easier way. And that's what I discovered in those books. And an entrepreneurial spark lit within me. And I can say that I've never been the same person since. And actually the book Dare to Dream and Work to Win, it's about network marketing. And what I actually want to do is dispel the myth, oh, people don't make money in those kind of things and what have you. Well, somebody starts playing golf, people want to buy a set of golf clubs and they want to be teeing it up with Tiger Woods next week. There's a real emotional and a mindset transition and develop an internal motivation, and it provided, you know, an environment and getting around a group of positive people that support you. And if you've got some desire and you've got some passion in your belly, you're prepared to persevere, then it's opened doors for me, and it has totally changed me emotionally, spiritually and financially. I'm a totally different human being. Help enough people get what they want, you get what you want. There are so many people out there that are looking to make changes and improvements in their life, but have got no idea how to do it. It's an absolute fact that 80% of people would prefer to be their own boss, but have got no idea. They haven't got a business idea. They haven't got the money or the know-how. We've got a proven system that helps people and supports people and develops people to make that emotional transition. So yeah, it's something that I'm incredibly passionate about, and meeting John Thorne, no one man has had more of an impact on me than John had. I guess I was in the right place at the right time.
But the journey, I mean, that was the beginning of the journey, and that mindset shift. But you were talking about some pre-existing thought patterns and changing those narratives. So, you know, like, I think the analogy you gave earlier was about like the way a parent might talk to you or a teacher might talk to you, and then that sort of, you then have that internal narrative and about reprogramming that.
I found myself sat in a therapist's chair and I started to uncover and discover that, you know, my dad, who was a great man, but I found out they never really praised me, never really encouraged me that much, and actually quite critical. And little did I know about the effect that had had on my inner confidence. And to get that point of view across, it's a Sunday afternoon, and it, you know, it gets to Sunday tea time. It's the family, mum and dad, 9-year-old down, and they have Sunday dinner. At the end of the dinner, the mum says said, you know, I really need to go and put my feet up. I'm shattered after cooking dinner. And the dad says, well, I need to go and prepare for work tomorrow. So they say to the 9-year-old girl, yeah, would you mind clearing the table, loading the dishwasher, and cleaning the kitchen away? You know, that'd be great. So little girl, she's working away, beavering away in the kitchen for about an hour. Right at the end, she takes a tea towel and she screws it up and she throws it on the side. I've done the dishes, I've tidied the kitchen. Daddy, come and have a look what I've done. And the unaware critical father focuses straight on the tea towel and says, what the hell do you think you're doing, screwing that tea towel up like that? Now, the consequences of that, and as I've told people this story, says, oh my God, that's what I do. And there's a total lack of awareness from people out there as to the implications as to what that has on children. Why do you always leave the light on? Why do you never turn the water off when you're cleaning your teeth? And what a child then tries to do is they start to try and seek perfection, because the basic human need is just to be loved, to be appreciated, and to be praised. That isn't coming. That child goes in seek of perfection, which is an impossible standard to hit. And because that child can never hit that standard, there's an internal belief and an internal story that is formed that I'm not enough. And that is the biggest disease that affects mankind today, is I'm not enough. But we don't even know that story is playing. It's at an unconscious level. So what I want to say to parents out there is please, please, please start studying the psychology of parenting. Yes, I'm bound to be biased, but our 21 and 24-year-old girls now are the most rounded, confident, gorgeous people, both on the inside. And it's all down to the parenting psychology that we learnt. And you know what? Some of those parents now that have got similar age kids to ours, they tell us that we're so lucky. We're not lucky whatsoever. We've actually, stuff that we've learned had such an impact on those girls. And I would just love to get out and tell my story. And there's no such thing as a child that is born naughty. Because of lazy parenting, we condition kids and start to put all sorts of titles. If you Google Beyond Toddlerdom, it's absolutely incredible. We bought a book about the psychology of parenting teenagers, so you can actually understand where they're at different stages in the life, which gives you so much more empathy and understanding. And it gives you some strategies and some psychology behind how to not be in a battle all the time. And sometimes, you know, yeah, there's like when the kids get to in the teenage years, and you'll know by speaking to other parents that have teenagers, and the kids seem to go distant. And we, you know, we can get all worked up about it and say, oh, our kids don't love us anymore, they don't need us anymore, oh, we're losing them. It's actually nature's way of preparing the parent and the child for when they do fly the nest. But you know, when there is that separation and there is that divide, that child that don't act like they need love and to put your arms around them, and they don't say it, but they still want it like they did when they were 5, 6, or 7 years old. If you don't understand the psychology behind it, you know, there are no classes on this stuff. What we tend to do is follow a model, and we tend to parent in the way that our parents parented us. If you're going to be an expert, and if you're going to be better at absolutely anything in life, wouldn't you go and get a book from somebody that's mastered it and that's become an expert in that area and model that behavior? Just does not make sense to continue to model your parents that the like it is that they got a lot of it wrong.
So what you're talking about is disrupting, isn't it? Is disrupting the cycle.
If there's books out there that teach you how to do it a whole lot better, and I can tell you, it makes life a whole lot easier. Sadly, so many people don't. But the more people that get passionate about it, and we get more and more of that awareness out there, it's got a huge role to play in our future society and personal development.
Earlier, you said the word empathy. One of the things that I would say as a teacher to the children quite often in the class is that, you know, empathy and altruism are the two most important skills. You know, you can get all the exams you want, you can get all the letters on the paper that you want, but actually, you know, the skills that are really important for where we are now in the 21st century is empathy and altruism. I mean, what's your take on that?
Intelligence and passing exams and that, if you're unable to, you know, engage with confidence and actually connect with people, that you can learn and develop through personal development, really set you up in life. You know, there's a great book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, how that enables you to empathize and teaches that altruism. There's a philosopher called Jim Rohn, who says, formal education can make you a living. Self-education can make you a fortune. And I'm not just talking about money here. You know, when you start talking about fortunes and wealth, to me, wealth starts within. Being happy. I mentioned earlier about getting stuck in the more trap where you're always looking for more. If people actually learn to be grateful for what they've got, so it's a whole new set of habits where people actually realise what is going on around them, because, yeah, another book is called The Power of Now, because where people, most people live, it's either as a victim of their past, or they're thinking about the future, bills or the pressures, they're never in the here and now. Actually going out and noticing the wind in the trees and noticing a rainbow. We've all heard about dawn chorus. I actually witnessed it the other morning, but I must have heard it so many times before, or it must have been there, but I never actually heard it. People are so preoccupied with pressure or thinking about what they want more of, and they never learn how to be in the present. And learning how to think so much better, and to be more grateful about things and the simple things in life.
People are asleep, aren't they? People are going through their normal day-to-day existence, their normal life, which is where the pressures come in. I mean, me and Rob kind of went out today and we were speaking to people in the local town centre, and so many of them were talking about the same thing of how, you know, mental health is actually right on the agenda now, which is fantastic. I suppose what advice would you give somebody who is in the Moore trap that you said, or in this kind of reality of consumerism and constant, you know, money oriented life? You know, what kind of hints and tips could you give people that might help them to sort of take that step?
I mean, to get to the way that I feel about life now, the way that I understand life and the simplicity of it, and being able to draw gratitude from seeing a rainbow or from a sunset or whatever, you know, that if somebody had given me that information, you know, 8 years ago, I'd just thought, you know, that's just weird. What are you talking about? So it's a journey. There is a direct link between our emotions and our thoughts, and we're in control of our thoughts. Well, this just isn't going to happen overnight, where all of a sudden you're going to learn how to think differently. People are totally in control of their emotions, and that the answers aren't in the promotion. It's not in more money. What most people do is they get up in the morning and they're checking Facebook, or they're straight on the phone and they're checking their email. If they're happy with how they're feeling right now, and they're happy with their finances right now, they're happy with the situation, there's no real reason to make a change. But if you're looking to make a change, please just take it on board that there are so much stuff to listen to that can totally change the way that you think. The beliefs that have been formed at an unconscious level, it's a whole new set of habits, and you can learn to think differently. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody call me who'd had quite a negative experience the day before, and this chap had been really quite nasty with this lady. It was what this guy had said, and his nasty experience on his face. And what I said to him, yeah, and this is a tool that anybody out there can use. You just imagine a TV remote. If you're watching a horror movie, what are your emotions? You know, you're feeling, you know, stressed, anxious, sweaty palms, and all that kind of thing. Well, says to her, what's your favourite film? And she says, Mary Poppins. And she giggled. And I says, what is it about Mary Poppins? She says, oh, that bit where she floats up into the sky with her umbrella. And she started laughing. And I says, so straight away, what you've done is you've changed the thought that's in your head. With your TV remote, you've turned the horror film off. You've put your favourite film of all time on, and you've all of a sudden started laughing, and it's changed your emotion straight away. If they're thinking about negativity, it drives negative emotion. And if they change the thought, it changes the emotion. And one thing that is absolutely so critical that I learned recently is that our emotion produces chemicals within our body. So if our emotion is anger, stress, and we're wound up, because basically cortisol is an inflammatory, so it's linked to depression, it's linked to fibromyalgia. So what we're talking about here, it's not just some hippified thinking, there's science to back it up. If somebody learns how to live in a more grateful state, in a happier state, in a more fulfilled state, the body produces serotonin and dopamine. These are the chemicals that are in antidepressants. We can produce our own cocktail of chemicals that makes our body work in the correct way. So that's the science behind all this stuff that we've been talking about. And I think if people understand the science behind it, so with neuroscience, you can now see how somebody that's been living in a negative state, how it actually damages part of the brain. But with this new way of thinking and living and a new set of habits, we can actually rewire the neural pathways within the brain, where people start to feel so much better about themselves And when you can actually see what is happening over a period of time, this stuff absolutely is, it's scientific, it works, it's proven.
There's a kind of preconception that only young people can rewire their brain. So you reach a certain age and you can't learn any new things, or you can't rewire your brain, you're setting, you know, your old habits. And again, with neuroscience, that's being disproven, isn't it? That idea of actually at any age, you know, you can rewire the bits of your brain about it, but it's all about developing these habits that you're talking about.
You reprogram, it's a bit like choice theory. You become aware of the choices that you've built up in automatic reactions of the way your thought processes go. If you become aware of those junctures, you can then choose to react differently or choose to act in a different manner, like choosing to change the channel.
Absolutely, yeah. You're right, Rob. I mean, I can remember I'd have been in my early 40s and I heard a program on the radio, and somebody came on and they were talking about the Victor Meldrew syndrome, and they were talking about how they got a chemical imbalance within this person's body, who was always angry and acting like Victor Meldrew. And I'm listening to the radio and I'm thinking, yeah, it's real. Yeah, it's real. Yeah, this is me. And I can remember actually getting quite excited that I was justified, that I've got this chemical imbalance within my body. This is why I'm short-tempered. This is why I'm angry. This is why I get depressed. And I can remember getting home at the end of the workday and speaking to my wife and telling her all about it. Absolutely, there is a chemical imbalance, but we're in control of the chemicals that we produce. So learn to think differently, change the habit of thought, change the beliefs. It changes the cocktail of chemicals that are being produced within our body. So it does not matter what age anybody is to rewire these neural pathways. But I just know that my depression that I've had, that I'm now a totally different person, and I'm totally in control of my emotions because I've got a total different awareness. And as you said there before, Rob, you mentioned reacting. One of the things that I really learned is that where I was a reactor, I now respond. Somebody might say something that just makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up a little bit, but just by taking a couple of deep breaths and breathing for 2 or 3 seconds and thinking about it, you're far less likely to say something that upsets the person you're speaking to, which in turn causes an internal turmoil within yourself. So actually learning how to respond to situations and stop reacting to situations is absolutely massive. Keeping a gratitude journal is a fantastic way of doing that, and it's a great way of changing a whole new set of habits, and you trigger a habit within the brain where actually you consciously go out looking for things during the day to be grateful for. So instead of this unconscious programming that is making you feel crap about yourself because of the poor conditioning and the poor story that's playing in your mind, and the story and the horror film that we were talking about earlier. If you're actually going out there, and you know, we'll have experienced it, you know, you hold a door open for somebody and somebody walks through and they give you a smile and say thank you, and it just gives you that little bit of a flutter that it makes you feel good. And so you write that in your journal. You see a rainbow and you actually look at the rainbow because you think, right, and you're trying to connect with the emotion of gratitude. And it might be something, it might be a look on your child's face or something that your children said. But throughout the day, if you actually start consciously thinking, right, I'm going to put 2, 3, 4 things in my journal. And then what you do at bedtime, immediately before going to sleep, as opposed to Facebook, check emails, think about the crap day that they've had at work, think about the crap day that they're going to have tomorrow. You go to bed actually thinking and reviewing what they've taken from the day. And so then what you're doing is going to sleep thinking happy thoughts and grateful thoughts. And then the unconscious mind all night is working on this stuff that you've taken from the day. And then if you wake up the next morning, you reconnect with this stuff straight away in the morning. You're getting yourself in flow and in state and getting your emotion in the right place, and you're starting to break the habit and the cycle as to where it, as to what is getting people into this depressive state and this, where they're addicted to social media, that as soon as they're opening their eyes, they're checking emails and checking social media. That is not healthy. So a gratitude journal and starting to practice in this way, and with a commitment to it over a period of time. And then there's other things, you know, meditation, there's mindfulness, and being committed to this stuff and going in search of the answers of this. That is what has made me and helped me make this transition as to where I'm in control of my emotions. I now know what I've been put on this planet to do. Gone through a roller coaster of emotions right through my life, and I've actually cracked the code and fathomed all this stuff out. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are living quiet lives of desperation that with a few tweaks can make some huge differences in their life.